The FCB Radio Network, where real talk lives.
Necessary rough when I bust into your zones, microphones get crushed out. I break the sucker down to dust. I do what I must, with the rush.
Hey, yo, welcome to Necessary Roughness. This is Eric E. Will Williams alongside Christy Maggard.
Hey, hey.
And from the long-lost land of FarmersOnly.com, CJ Cobb has joined us with his presence.
You don't have to be lonely.
FarmersOnly.com.
That was impromptu, too. We need a record deal. Right off that.
Nope.
And as you hear him laughing over there, we got Darvio the King Kimaro from the Outlaws Radio Show.
I don't even know how to follow that.
You know, and I almost saved him for last. That would have been perfect if we had done that last. Well, since we haven't heard from you in a while, CJ, how have you been since the last time you were here in studio?
Well, my cholesterol's up.
Well, then.
Blood pressure is up there as well.
Good for you. Going to the doctor. Look at you all adulting and whatnot.
Hashtag old age.
No, but everything's going real good, man. I feel blessed. I'm actually finishing up school, pretty much done. I got a couple of big projects I got to get turned in, and then we got graduation in about a week. It happened fast. So,
yeah.
So now I'm officially free to be on the show every Tuesday.
Yes, sir.
When the office is here and when I can get here.
Without having to call me.
Without getting lost.
I just don't understand. You've been in Cleveland for how long now?
You see, I've told you this before, man. I'm a traveler. I've been to Cleveland, Chicago, Florida, China, Canada. You know, I'm all over the place.
So
it's hard to keep all that stuff up here. You know,
so it just all blends together.
I have a great memory. You know, just like the guy in the office says, he has a great memory, but sometimes players mess up.
I mean, you could just chalk it up as you have sometimer's disease.
Sometimer's.
I mean, to be perfectly honest, like, I'm from Toledo, and whenever I go back home to, you know, my parents and see my family and stuff like that, sometimes I'm like, okay, remind me one more time. How do I get there again?
Wait,
I grew up there.
You know what a city is?
Yes.
I feel like Christy just almost got bleeped.
No. I was telling you to be quiet. Hush your mouth.
I didn't know you knew there were places that didn't have horse-drawn carriages.
I'm from a place that doesn't have horse-drawn carriages. But yeah, I'm from the burbs. I like sidewalks. I do. We moved to the country because that's my husband's thing.
Okay. But so, since you're speaking, Christy, how are you?
Yeah, you forgot to ask that.
No, he didn't forget. He just asked me just now.
Look
good.
At you covering up for him. That was good.
I didn't cover up anything.
It's because I forgot the brownies this week.
You did forget the brownies, and I thought I explicitly said in my contract, when I appear on the show, brownies are supposed to be present. No questions asked.
In her defense, how was she supposed to know when you were or were not going to be in studio?
Yeah, that sounds like a her problem, not a my problem.
Communication is key, damn it.
I actually didn't know you were going to be here today until I got here.
Neither did I until he called me.
Well, I let Darvio know. He's supposed to relay my messages.
Do you realize who you just referenced?
Darvio takes your messages
The one who
now.
You called right. for directions and he didn't answer your call?
I didn't even know he called.
Right, exactly.
But anyway,
at least you made it here safely.
Right.
I did.
Courtesy of yours truly.
Well, I made it here safely. My truck almost didn't with all the holes and stuff in the road.
Oh, it's awful.
Oh, damn.
It's awful.
It's terrible.
So this street really right bad. Here next to the studio, you got to drive on the wrong side of the road.
Yes.
Yeah, you do. And it's still not good.
Well, I would have done that, but the cops are literally right in front of me. So.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know.
You didn't want to get DWB.
Right. We know how it goes.
They put two cuffs on me, just so you know. No. It's always two cuffs. Oh, I don't even get asked, you know, to step out of the car. It's just right out of the car. Cuffed. No words.
Oh, gosh.
So back to Christy's day.
Well, you know, my day could have been worse, but it could, you know, it was all right. We survived. And the reason that I forgot brownies all about it was because I was picking up my daughters from school, and as most people who listen to the show know, one of my children has cerebral palsy, CP. So she's got a little walker. It's like the old people walkers that are like out in front of them. Mm-hmm. It's called a reverse walker. It goes behind little kids and it has little wheels on it. And so she walks out of school and I'm waiting. And she like stopped walking, like didn't get all the way to the car. And I'm like, come on. And I'm like, all right, fine. I'll just get you out. Well, usually I pick her up and the walker up. I throw the walker in the back and then I put Haley in the car. Well, since it wasn't close to the car, I left it there. So I accidentally left her walker at school. Oh. I put her in her car seat and then I saw a wasp and all the windows were open and I didn't want myself to get stung or my kids. So I'm like, I better get in and drive away real quick.
I hate those things.
Yeah, I just left her walker there. So when I got the kids home, I got them all out of the car. I come in, I'm starting to clean up the kitchen, and I get a text from the teacher, hey, you left Haley's walker at school if you want to come back and get it. Mm. And I'm like, normally I would just been like, we'll get it tomorrow at school, but she has therapy tomorrow before school,
so I have to have it.
Yeah. So
what do you mean normally? So you've done this before?
Well, I did one other time.
She was trying to cover up there.
Well, what I meant when I said that was like normally on any other day, whatever, if it wasn't that big of a deal. But since we have therapy, I had to go get it. So that chalked up like 25 extra minutes because I had to put the girls back in the car, all three of them.
And go back to civilization.
To what? No, it's in the middle of a cornfield. It's not civilization, but it's like 7 minutes away.
Even the school is in a cornfield.
Oh, everything is. Yeah.
Yeah. So is this like a big trip for you to come towards the city?
It's like an hour and a half.
It's like a big vacation.
It's a staycation.
Yeah.
I almost always stop off in Berea, my old stomping grounds from when I worked with the Browns. And I'd go to that Starbucks there and I'd get a Starbucks on my way in because there's not like a good one where I am.
Did y'all notice that humble brag right there?
Yeah.
Like to stop at my old stomping grounds.
My old
just
back
stag.
When I worked at the Browns.
I stayed like right at the off the exit, like on 71. If you get off at the Berea exit, they housed us like right off of there. So I always, when I come up here, I always drive by the hotel. I wave. I'm like, hey. It was very nice staying there.
I miss the city.
I do.
I miss people.
Take me back, please.
Yeah. Imagine when she goes there. She's like, yeah, back in my day.
None of this. Oh my gosh.
All this was trees.
Seriously, my dad does that all the time. And I do. I feel like my dad because I'm like, none of this stuff was here. That wasn't here. And that wasn't here. So I do. I feel very old.
Right.
I am. So
she said that very. It sounded very depressing. She was like, I feel very old.
Like it was just dawning on her.
Speaking of old, Darvio, how was your week?
Ooh.
Says the guy that's getting ready to join the 30 Club.
Oh, man. Yes.
We'll get to that in a second. How was your week, sir?
It was good, man. You know, working as usual, chilling. So let's get it popping.
All right. That was kind of lame.
Jessica. I don't have much this week.
For those of you that listen to the Outlaws radio show, that was like a Jessica. Hi, how are you?
Right. Yeah, I don't have much this week.
Are you a rapper or something? Yeah, you know, I'm just here chilling, you know what I'm saying? Let's get it popping.
You know, always behind them sunglasses.
Oh, yeah. CJ got jokes on my Instagram.
Do you know he actually has eyes?
I had no idea.
No clue. He actually has human eyeballs.
I have like eight years of knowing him, man.
What?
Yeah, I put out a TBT picture last week.
Yeah.
And my eyes were showing.
He gave us a sneak peek of his eyes.
And then, of course, CJ felt so obliged to say on my Instagram page, oh, you have eyes.
Can't expect anything less from this fellow over here.
That's right. I bring the roughness to
necessary roughness.
And the farming.
I like what you did there.
Yeah, you like what I did there?
I like what you did there. That was smooth.
Show it on the checkbook. It's copyrighted. Don't try to steal that.
Hey, before we get into sports talk, I just want to wish all the moms out there happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yes.
I am one, so I know how hard that you work, and I see you, and just keep doing what you're doing. Don't ever doubt yourself.
We see
doing
you.
Good job.
Thank you, mamas.
Thank you, Mama.
She's on Facebook too, so thank you, Mom.
Shout out to CJ's mom.
Shout out to all of our moms.
Shout out to Mom Dukes.
I don't know if she knows how to watch Facebook Live, but if you're watching this, Mom, happy Mother's Day in advance because you know my memory is bad. And I'll probably forget until I send you the card after Mother's Day. Love you.
and speaking of Mother's Day and what Darvio referenced a few seconds ago, Sunday, which is Mother's Day, is also my birthday.
Yes.
I will be finally hitting that dirty 30. So this is my last episode
dirty
of
30.
Necessary Roughness where I'm in my 20s.
So young.
I just
so when we come back next week, I'll be in the 30 club. I'll be old like Darvio. Carvio.
That's right. CJ just crossed over the. I'm ignoring you. CJ just crossed the
you just
30.
Acknowledged me.
The 30 threshold as well. So.
When was your birthday?
March 24th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just a little bit ago. It's probably before you accepted my friend request on Facebook.
It was like the day, that was either Easter or the day before, because that was the day of the 300th episode.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 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 Christy clearly felt some type of way that you didn't know.
You throwing shots.
Easter was on April 1st. So if his birthday was on the 24th.
It was on April 1st. Mm-hmm. I'm tripping.
April Fool's Easter.
And since you brought it up, why did it take you so long to add your co-host to your Facebook
Thank
page?
You. Thank you.
That is a question that I'm actually so glad that you asked. Because it all started.
Because you accidentally logged on to farmersonly.com.
Why don't you go ahead and tell the story? You know it. So anyway, Chrissy, so you must know, I was volunteering at a disabled puppies shelter, and they don't have internet there.
Sure.
You know, they don't have internet there, and I spend a lot of time there. And
the puppies.
I'm sorry that I was not able to
The wheelchair puppies need me.
I just wasn't able to accept a friend request at that time because I was knee-deep in poor handicapped puppies.
Puppies' lives matter.
He's working so hard right now.
Special needs puppies.
He's been planning this from the moment he added you on Facebook.
And I love how I snuck that in, by the way.
It's all up here. I can't remember Mother's Day, but I can remember a made-up story.
Wow, shots fired.
First of
all, put on your sunscreen because everybody's getting burnt.
I have you know that I've bought my mom a card like 2 weeks in advance. Now, I'm just saying, I just may forget because I spend so much time at that disabled puppy's home.
He may forget to send it.
I may forget to send it on time.
I got you.
So I'm preemptively getting
apologizing.
It out there.
Apologizing.
Exactly.
Just in case.
Because I know I'm going to forget.
It's the thought that counts is what they always say anyway.
That is true.
And to be perfectly honest, even if you didn't buy her a card, if you just called your mom, that would be enough.
Yeah, she would love that.
She
would love
my mom
that.
Sometimes.
Yep, you should sometimes, just so that she knows you're alive. I'm just saying.
To remind her that you love her.
Yeah, of course.
There's also that.
In addition to the, hey, mom, I'm alive. You know, it's always good to know.
You know who else needs to have a call?
What?
The Raptors should have been called and reminded that they were in the playoffs.
Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
No, they should have been called to be reminded that they were basketball players.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So at the time of the show being taped last night, the Cleveland Cavaliers, our Cleveland Cavaliers, swept the baby dinosaurs. I mean the Toronto Raptors.
Dinosaurs.
Oh, man.
Do you hear all the shade?
Would you say it to one of their faces?
I would.
All right.
Why not?
He would.
You know they're taller than you.
That's all right. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Just remember that, CJ.
What about their bank accounts? Their bank account ain't falling anytime soon.
That's all right.
That's true. And they probably got a bunch of guards.
About
money.
You just asked me if I'd say it to their face.
You know what, though? And when I was at the gym this morning, a guy asked me, he's like, what do you think about that? They're going home. They're all sad and depressed. I was like, sad about what? You get to go home to your beautiful model girlfriend and your million-dollar mansion home driving your Audi. You know, 2018 Audi.
Right. What a way DeMar DeRozan played. He wasn't going home to nothing.
I'm telling you, put on that 35 SPF. Everybody's getting burnt.
He choked, man. He completely choked.
I mean, just like the whole team choked. Mm. Like, they didn't even show up for the series at all.
Well, they showed up for game one, and then they choked at the end. They showed up for game three, and then they choked at the end.
Well, was it game one or was it game two when Valanciunas at the end was trying to put the...
when he missed 45 shots under the rim?
Yeah.
You counted?
It was hard to miss it. Was bad.
And then the announcer was like, there was a lid on the basket.
There were some... I mean, they went in for dunks and missed. I'm like, I didn't even know that was a thing, but...
You usually see that like 3 or 4 times a season where someone missed a blatant, like... dunk like that.
Speaking
but they
of,
missed it like 4 times.
What's that last night? We were watching game 7 and
you mean game 4. It didn't make it to 7.
You said 7?
You know what I'm like. Game 4.
You know he can't count, Darby.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
The last game in the series.
Put that stuff out there, man.
All right.
Man, my bad. Game 4, when the dude went to open and he missed the dunk.
He missed the alley-oop dunk. It was ridiculous, man. I almost felt embarrassed for Toronto.
I feel embarrassed like a big bag of stupid right now for saying game seven.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you should. You know, they didn't make it to go.
What happened was
the tiny dinosaurs didn't score as many points as the Cavaliers. So that's what happened there.
That's generally what happens in most athletic competitions.
Right, yeah.
Now, could you? That was good.
Unless it's swimming.
Now, real quick before we go to break.
There are points in swimming. Don't start. Whoa. I actually, shut your mouth.
That's a hot button.
You shut your mouth.
That's a hot button.
You guys
see
your
face. Here we go.
We got to go to break. We'll be back here on Necessary Roughness.
I'll ask my question after the break. Yo, this is the Kingpin.
Jessica Lavish.
And Eric E. Will Williams.
From the Outlaws Radio Show, telling y'all to make sure that you go download the brand new FCBRadio.com app for Android and iPhone. It's free. You get to hear the Outlaws Radio Show. You get to hear the dopest entertainment segment in the world called
Lifestyles of the Rich and Lavish.
And you get to hear the dopest sports show on the planet called
Necessary Roughness Radio.
And of course, Views from the 216, the hottest political show around, along with the other hottest political show around, the Todd Allen Show, and all of our other programs and our radio station Vibe by FCB. So make sure that you go check that out. It's free, y'all. So you ain't got no reason not to get it.
No excuses.
FCBRadio.com.
Hey, yo, welcome back to Necessary Roughness. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at NRCLE and on Facebook at Necessary Roughness Radio. And don't forget to download the new FCBRadio.com app via the App Store on iPhones and the Google Play Store on the Androids. Totally free. You can check out all the shows on FCB Radio Network, like the Outlaws Radio Show, the Jeff Brown Show, the Todd Allen Show, Views from the 216. And, of course, Necessary Roughness.
That's right.
And you can check out Vibe, which plays 80s and 90s hip-hop, and Uptown, which plays R&B.
That's right.
Whoop, whoop.
You should let me be like a commercial voice on that. You're not listening to the Vibe.
Hey, that was pretty that was pretty good.
FCB.
And during the break, he's going to be recording that.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to head back to the Ohio Media School, get in the studio. I'm going to record you all kinds of production and stuff like that.
FarmersOnly.com.
Hey, hey, as much plug as they're getting, they need to be paying us.
You need to reach out to them.
Yes, we need to get a sponsorship from them.
Bro, if we can get a sponsorship from them, I would die.
It would be awesome.
It would be hilarious.
It would be absolutely awesome.
You need to make that happen.
You promise?
Man, you want me to die, though?
No, here's the thing about what I just said there. I thought about it. I was like, is that too far? And then I think about all the stuff that's been said. Nah.
I remember that next time you need directions to the studio.
Oh, brother, why you got to bring up the past like that?
Hey, why you bringing up old stuff?
Bring up old stuff.
That happened like 1 hour ago. Whatever.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in the now, brother. In the now.
Well, wait. Let's go back to, speaking of the now, let's go back to what was said before the break. Swimming actually has points.
Oh, why are you doing
it? Like, no, I'm not trying to be silly here. I'm being legit now. Like, I actually, I cracked it as a joke, but then she lost it. Wish y'all could have seen the look in her face. I saw
she lost her ish. Like, I thought she was about to hurt you.
Our pastor would have had to do like an exorcism or something.
So, not in the Olympics, because it's individualized in the Olympics, because it just comes down to time, right?
That's what I thought. Go on.
Right. Well, in high school and college, it's a team sport. And so as a combined effort, for every, you know, first, second, third place you get, you score points. So the most points, obviously, are first place, second most, second place, and third. And so then the team who accumulates the most points wins.
So it's like track, kind of. Isn't that how track works?
I think track is a little bit.
I never ran track.
But you also have the field aspect
track
of track.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's more, a little bit more individualized than swimming, because also, well, you have swimming and diving, which is scored, and the points from the score help the swim team.
I'm not diving. Yes. I'm doing cannonballs.
But yeah, no.
I'm black. I don't know how to swim.
No. I can't.
You know how to float really well.
Right. That's
one
about
of the fastest
it.
Swimmers I ever saw was Mount Union black kid. Just saying. He was like
one of the best,
like four backstrokes, and he was across the pool.
That was the
I don't even know what happened.
That was the best black swimmer that we've ever seen, in, like counting the other five.
There are some. They do exist.
It's like 10 of them. All right. And they all live in your city.
Moving on. Oh my God. So in the last segment, we were talking basketball. We're going to get right back to that.
Yes, thank you very much.
So obviously, we referenced how the Cavs swept the baby dinosaurs.
The baby dinosaurs,
ooh,
right.
Boy.
So I had a question.
In LeBronto.
Right, in LeBronto. That was really disrespectful.
Yes.
That ESPN said that Mark Jones from ESPN called it LeBronto.
Do you see the memes with like Drake? The
yes.
God's plan. Was it God's plan?
Yeah.
It's bronze plan. Bronze plan.
So disrespectful.
Bronze plan.
So now let me ask you, because I was going to ask you a question before he derailed it with the freaking swimming thing. When you're playing an elimination game, now obviously when you're in the playoffs in football, it's a little different because every game is basically an elimination game.
Win or go home.
Right. What does it mean when a team knows that this is win or go home and you just wet the bed like that? What does that say about that team's confidence, their psyche, everything?
First, really, man, it's like a gut punch, you know, to the guys on that team, because you work so hard to get to that point, and then to go out like that, you just know it shouldn't have gone down like that, but it's almost like a feeling of helplessness, because you're looking at the clock, clock's winding down, you're starting to work it out in your head, there's no way we can come back, there's no way, you know, we can get back into this thing, and this is the last game, so it's over, now we got to go home, they're about to go celebrate, you know, they're in front of their home fans, the fans are going nuts, they're, you know, probably calling you all kinds of names and losers, and, you know, right. I've been on that losing end, and that
right.
sucks.
Right.
That's just the only way I can really put it. It just sucks
mm-hmm.
when you're on that side. But at the same time, you use that as motivation for the next season, or not even the next season, the off season. Now it's grind mode. You got to get back into it, man. You got to let that go, and you got to get back to your home court, get back to practicing, practice the shots, dunks, technique, stuff to kind of take your mind off that and get you back into, okay, next year it's on.
Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like a team that you played against just had your number? Because it seems like in Toronto, like the Cavs have a psychological advantage over Toronto.
They're always in their heads.
Yeah, they've beat them three times in a row now. They've swept them twice. What kind of, have you ever had that situation, first of all, where you just felt like a team had your number? And if you had that, how do you break out of that mentally?
That's something you just got to have. You know what I'm saying? You just got to have that edge that kind of mocks it to you. Like, there's no team that has our number. You know, I used to say with the Gladiators, I was like, I fear no man. You know what I'm saying? They bleed like we bleed. You know,
right.
So there was no team that I thought had the edge over us.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was teams that it was going to be a battle. But there's one thing I always told my teammates. I was like, look, you might be more athletically gifted or whatever than me, but there is nobody that's going to outwork me. You're going to have to outwork me to beat me, because it's going to be a fight all 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't really have that in your mind like, oh, this team is going to beat us probably, you know, because then you're already beat.
Yeah.
If you're
yeah.
already thinking in defeat, then you're
yes.
most likely going to end up in defeat. So you can't have that mindset of, oh, man, they got our number. They just always win. They always beat us. Why even show up? Because then those questions start coming and that starts spreading through the locker room, and you don't need that. So
yeah, and it seems like a lot of the players on Toronto, especially the stars, the ones that have been through this, they feel that way. So in the locker room, like, talk about that. How would players who don't feel that way react to seeing your leaders basically quitting, for lack of a better word?
That one, it really depends on the atmosphere and relationship of the guys. Because I would say, you call that person out. You say, hey, you're the leader of this team. You know, you're the guy that we put so much responsibility on to get us in positions to win, and we're going to follow your lead. So if you're sitting here down and out acting like this team is better than us, what do you expect us to do? So if I was a guy looking at one of the leaders on my team, say if I was a young guy looking at an older guy who was a leader, you know, I'm like, yo, get this dude off the court. Let me go.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't care who they are. I'm out there. So you got guys like that who are just like, well, tell them to move. I'll handle it. Or you got guys that will come to him, maybe pull him to the side and say, hey, look, this team looks up to you. you got to present yourself in a better way. You got to be the leader that this team and organization wants you to be.
Right.
So it's different kind of ways.
So now I was attempting to – I'm going to give some inside baseball here. I was attempting to toss it to the leader of the show, and he was – busy doing some other stuff.
Look, so, man, get him out the way. I'll go. Look, I need this thing to new heights. You know what I'm saying?
Eric, you're the leader that we need this team to be.
I'll play. That's great.
Perfect timing.
So, speaking of players refusing to do things, you know, Rodney Hood for the Cleveland Cavaliers, since we're talking about him, I think it was about 7 minutes and 38 seconds left in game 4, not game 7, in which they were going to sub Rodney Hood in to get LeBron out of the game, and he refused to go in and play in garbage time, as they call it. And, you know, given what you were saying, like, how do you look at that, CJ? Like, if you're looking at, you know, even though you guys got a win, you know, so to speak, in the bag, and you see one of your fellow teammates refusing to go in the game, how does that make you feel? Like, what thoughts go through your mind? Like, what would be your first reaction to that?
That's selfish. That's not a team-oriented guy to do that. And I'm not saying that he's not. He might have just been in the moment.
Right,
and,
just in his feelings.
In his feelings or something like that. So, but as a former professional athlete, whatever you may call it, I'd be like, yo, that's kind of high school, middle school stuff. Like, to refuse to go in, that's juvenile.
Right.
You know, that you don't do that. As a professional multi-million-dollar player, probably, I would assume.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
You know, if the coach say, hey, you got 7 minutes left, go in the game, get LeBron out, you get up and you go in the game. Mm-hmm. That's, you're being paid to be a professional athlete. Go out there and be professional. Don't let your emotions show like that in a negative way.
Yeah. And I would think that since he has not been playing well, you would want to get playing time just so you can see the ball
and to get back in your groove.
Right.
Let me say this too, man. If I'm one of the guys that are on the bench in the warm-ups who don't get a chance to play, who don't get a chance to get in the game, like a practice squad player or something like that, and a guy gets an opportunity like that and just sits there and goes, nah, I ain't doing it. Nah, I'm good. Yo, I'm losing my mind.
Right.
Because there are guys who would literally, I don't want to say literally, but who'll do anything to get in that situation, to get into the game and play, and you got a guy just kind of breezing it off like it's nothing, that's not cool. Not, I don't know the whole story. You know, I don't know all the facts, but if that's true that he was just like, nah, I'm good, I ain't going in, come on, man.
Yeah.
You got to be professional.
Right, and you know that some of his teammates were pissed about it, or we wouldn't know about it.
I would be pissed off about it, too.
Exactly. I'm telling you, those guys that don't get a chance to play are probably like, nah, forget that. Get him out. Put me in. I'll go in if it's 7 minutes, 6 minutes, 2.5 minutes, 58 seconds. I don't care. Just get me in the game.
Well, go ahead, Chrissy.
Oh, I was going to say, at that point in time, the pressure was off because they were up by, 30 points or
right.
something
it
like
was
that.
Over, right.
So that is your time to play. That is your time to shine. There's no pressure. Just get in there. Do your thing. Make your shots. Make some buckets. Get some points for your name, get some minutes playing.
Get,
I mean,
in the stat book.
Get in there. That is your time. I mean, he's not necessarily a rookie because he came from the Jazz,
yeah,
right?
This is his fourth year. So okay, but he's been around
so you're
long enough.
To be but well he's, seasoned.
Right. Sure, but he's new to this bench, so get in there and I mean make a name for yourself. Make
Which
people,
he hasn't been doing.
Right.
And that's the problem.
So
right.
either he doesn't want to be here or he's got something going on because...
Well, he's a little bit of a diva sometimes.
See, you can't...
How are you going to be a diva on LeBron's team?
LeBron's bench.
Exactly. That's like, not what? Part of LeBron's plan. LeBron's plan.
I like that.
That was smooth. We're going to use that. We're going to use that instrumental in this show.
You can't do that, man. You got to... In all seriousness, you got to be a professional. That's one thing that I learned from the guys in front of me. Don't let your emotions show in a negative way. It's all good when it's positive and you're passionate. But if you do stuff like that, you're being viewed now as selfish, not a team guy, and you don't want that on your name. Plus, like I said, you got guys hungry for your spot
right.
to come in and play. So, you know, be humble, be gracious for where you are, and get in the game and be
a pro. Act like you've been there before.
Absolutely. And you would think, like, I mean, every player has bad games, right? No matter what sport. But
exactly.
you would think like, okay, in football, the next play is my play, right? It's, like, you have to have that mentality.
Exactly.
That, all right, I may not have been playing very well up to this point, but now this is my shot. I got it this time.
They would always tell us, snap and clear. If you throw a bad pass, if you miss your block, if you drop the ball, snap and clear. It's done now. You can't get that one back. You can get the next one. Mm-hmm. So snap and clear. Move on.
Well, and what surprises me, though, is regardless of any excuse that was given, regardless of how apologetic he was or whatever the case may be, I don't understand how the team doesn't fine or suspend him. Like, it's being reported that there's not going to be any type of repercussions. Like, it just, you got other teammates that are angry about it or upset, whatever, and yet you're just kind of just brushing it off like nothing happened.
Well, they're not doing anything about it now. There's a whole off season to come. Yeah, he may not be here.
You got to know that is so. What you're just talking about right now is public. Mm-hmm. Once they go to the locker room side of things, they handle that stuff in house.
Right.
You know, you might not hear about a suspension or anything like that, but you might not see him get any playing time going forward.
Right.
Or something like that. You know, there will be some sort of price to pay for, you know, not going in. Yeah, the way you acted. So you never know.
All right, well, with that being said, we got to take a break here on Necessary Roughness. We'll be back here soon. Well, we got to take a break here on Necessary Roughness, but make sure you stay tuned. We have a special interview in the next...
What was that?
I said...
You want me to just keep going?
Yeah, just keep going.
We got to take a break here on Necessary Roughness, but make sure you stay tuned because we have a very special interview in the next segment, courtesy of Christy Maggard. We'll be back soon.
This is Darby or the Kingpin Morrow. I want you to check out my new song, Unconditional, featuring Dan Smith.
I'm not admitted. I know that I'm my harshest critic. I'm just trying to deal with it. I take it back because this ain't complicated. Yo, it's simple. We all looking for something that's unconditional.
No, I'm not perfect, no. I made my mistakes and no. But all I want is love.
Get Unconditional now on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Tidal, and all other major digital outlets from FCB Records.
Fight.
Hey, yo, welcome back to Necessary Roughness. This is Eric E. Will Williams alongside Christy Maggard.
Hey, hey.
And from FarmersOnly.com, we have CJ Cobb.
You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com.
Do we have to do that every segment?
You might have to. It's called branding, Christy.
Well, we're gonna start paying us if that's the case. Well, so
if I put it out there, they will.
Well, I bet they will. And we have Darby O, the Kingpin Morrow from the Outlaws Radio Show. So now we have a special interview today. This happens to be a friend of Christie's, so I'm going to go ahead and toss it over to her, let her do the introductions, and get this started. Christy.
Yeah, so a long, long time ago in a land far, far away, I used to be a lifeguard and swim coach, and one of the little swimmers that I coached, and I lifeguarded with his older sister, who I'm currently friends with on Facebook. She actually just shared a story about her little brother that I didn't know happened, but again, this is long time ago. We've got Brett on the phone. And so, welcome, Brett. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. So your sister shared an article from, Michigan Medicine, about an incident that happened to you while you were playing lacrosse in high school, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about that day. You were 15 years old playing lacrosse in high school, and what happened?
Yeah, so it was actually Super Bowl Sunday, and it was indoor lacrosse, so it was before the season even started. We had a game at the local indoor center by my house, so I mean, it was just a normal game, just like every other day, and it just kind of luck of the draw. When I was playing defense on one of the plays, just the position I happened to be in, when the offensive player swung through to shoot the ball, it just kind of just so happened to be in the way of the ball and the stick. So when it hit me, I just kind of, I mean, I didn't really feel like anything really bad happened at first. It just more so like knocked the wind out of me. And then, so I like fell to the ground. I went over to the bench and like my coach came over, asked me if I was okay, gave me some water. and everything seemed fine for about like 15 minutes, and then that's when they started to notice that something had happened.
And so where did you get hit exactly?
So it was in my neck, like right in the left side. If you can imagine someone wearing like a lacrosse helmet, it was just like just below where the front of the helmet sits. He hit like right there on my neck.
Yeah, that
on
is
the left side.
The odds of that happening have to be pretty slim, because that's not a really big gap there between the bottom of the helmet and your, like your shoulder.
Yeah.
And so when you said that they noticed that something was happening, what were they noticing? What was happening?
I think it was the manager of the facility had came over. He kind of asked me if I was okay, like right after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought over like some ice, and I said like everything was fine. I didn't think we needed to like call an ambulance or anything. And then he came over like 15 minutes later just to kind of check on me again, ask how I was doing. And when he like asked me how I was doing, how I felt, I couldn't respond. Like, I couldn't talk. I couldn't move, my hand. So he just, like, he noticed something happened. So they ended up calling. That's when they called the ambulance.
Yikes. And they took you to the hospital, and they ran some tests, and they were able to determine that you actually suffered a stroke, right?
Yeah, so the first hospital they took me to couldn't, like, the testing that they did, they couldn't determine, so they transferred me to a different hospital. And then I think it was the next morning I woke up, and that's when they kind of told me and my parents what exactly had happened.
What was your first thought when doctors told you that you had a stroke?
I was pretty freaked out. At that point, I was really... lacrosse was, like, super important to me. It was a big part of my life, so I was super upset about that. I was super young, so I also didn't really understand, like, what was going on, like, how serious everything actually was. So it was a little confusing for me, because, I didn't understand how, like, what had happened to me could lead to that.
Right. Right.
Yeah, so it was interesting.
Very interesting. And then your story doesn't even end there, right? You went home, and they told you, take it easy, take some aspirin, and that kind of thing. And then you actually suffered another stroke when you were at home. And that's when you ultimately ended up at Michigan Medicine. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I was at Toledo for about a week. They monitored me. They put me on blood thinners. And then after about a week, they thought I was in pretty stable condition. So they sent me home. They kept me on blood thinners and the aspirin and a couple other medications. And then it was actually the morning after I got sent home. I was, I had like just gotten up. I was sitting down doing some homework that I had missed from the time being in the hospital.
I
ended up having another stroke, and they took me to the hospital and then life-flighted me to Michigan.
Oh my gosh. And so while you were there, the specialists there were able to determine what was going on. And it was a carotid artery dissection. Is that the correct pronunciation?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And so, and that happened, my understanding is that happened when you got hit in the neck. It damaged your carotid artery, and that it created kind of a bubble in there, and that was restricting the blood flow to your brain, causing the strokes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And so when the doctors went to put a stent in, they realized they couldn't, and they ended up cauterizing it?
Yeah, so I think when they went to put the stent in, I think there were a couple of reasons that they weren't able to do it. I think one of them was mainly because they didn't realize, like, the size of the injury, like, how large the hole that led to the bubble actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, since I was still, because, like, I think most of the time they see strokes in older people, so since I was so young. I still had, like, such a hard, my blood was pumping so strong, it was harder to set the stent when they were doing the surgery. So, yeah, they ended up, like, cutting off the blood flow to the blown up section. They cauterized that, and then I stayed at the hospital there for a little bit longer.
Oh my gosh, man, that is crazy to happen to a 15-year-old. That is just nuts. Like, you go in, you're just doing your thing, you're playing your sport, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I've just had two strokes. What was your recovery like after your second hospitalization?
It was a pretty simple recovery, I would say. There was nothing like really crazy I needed to do, like with some other injuries, you know, you have to like just like if you break your leg or something, you might have to go and like exercise or whatever. There wasn't really much I had to do. It was just kind of rest and really let the medicine work and don't overwork yourself, and especially don't get hurt again or like hit in the head or anything like that. It really wasn't the worst. I had a pretty simple, normal life while I was recovering, but, like, I just kind of tried to stay out of, like, rough situations. I couldn't go to gym class anymore, stuff like that. So, I mean, there were some restrictions, but it wasn't a terrible recovery.
Good.
So, I know earlier you had said that, you know, lacrosse was something that was, like, really important to you. So, what was that like for you to be able to get back out on the field as an assistant coach through the remainder of your high school years?
It was really nice to just be able to continue to stay involved with the team because most of the kids that were on the team I had known from before. We went to school together already. So it was just nice to be able to stay connected and do something that I already did with my friends and that I was already really into. And I also loved the coach we had then, so it was nice to be able to stick with my team and enjoy the time. Even though I couldn't play, it kind of gave me the same feeling.
Yeah. Did you ever think or, like, contemplate doing sport again? Like, maybe doing, I just lost the word, like, extracurricular sports in college or anything like that?
Yeah, I've thought about it and looked up a few times, like, if they have, like, leagues for lacrosse or other sports for older people.
you are so young. That's funny hearing you say that.
It's kind of just something I think about, but I'm not sure if it's ever something I'll actually do. I think I got really lucky one time, and I would like to not have to deal with that again, so... I mean, I do love playing sports, and I still do play some sports, you know, just with my friends and stuff like that, but try to stay away from the rougher sports.
Yeah, I definitely don't blame you. Well, that is all the time that we have, but I really appreciate you being on with us, Brett. Thanks so much for sharing your story.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Thanks again, Mr. Brett Flowers, for coming on Necessary Roughness. We'll be back here shortly.
This is Jessica Lavish with the Outlaws. We know that racism still exists in our country, but what about slavery? Human trafficking, a form of modern-day slavery, is where people profit from the control and exploitation of others by means of force, fraud, and coercion. Tragically, no country, community, or individual is immune from the vast injustice. Human trafficking is driven by demand. Instead of contributing to the problem, we can be part of the solution. If we eliminate the demand, we eliminate human trafficking. For more information, follow #demandnomore.
Hey, yo, welcome back to Necessary Roughness. Make sure you follow the show on Twitter at NRCLE and on Facebook at Necessary Roughness Radio. And once again, don't forget to download the new FCBRadio.com app from your Play Store on your Androids and your App Store on your iPhones. Completely free. Check out all the shows on FCB Radio Network.
Yes, sir.
The Outlaws Radio Show, The Jeff Brown Show, Views from the 216, The Todd Allen Show, Necessary Roughness, everything. And you got The Vibe in Uptown. 80s and 90s hip-hop and R&B. Yeah. We got everything you like.
I love that. Like CJ, that's smooth. That's smooth.
Feel good.
Once again, thank you to Brett Flowers for coming on the show and doing an interview with us. That was an interesting story to hear.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shout out to that guy.
Glad to hear that you're doing well.
Yeah, I can imagine, CJ, I know we were talking during the break, that's a tough thing to have to deal with, like with injuries just kind of derailing what you wanted to do.
Exactly. Just losing something that you've kind of identified yourself with. And I'm kind of speaking from my own, you know, perspective here, too, is when you play a sport for so long and it's something that you're passionate about and you love it and you lose it like that, it kind of takes away like who you are. He's like, well, who am I if I don't have this sport? You know, I always identify myself as CJ Cobb, Cincinnati Bearcat when I was in college, number 70, or Cleveland Gladiator, number 71. That just came along with the name, you know, for Brett Flowers, lacrosse. You know, such and such. So, you know, it's hard, especially when you know you want to be out there with your teammates and that's like your family and you have to sit out now. It's tough. So my heart definitely goes out for him with his situation. I know what he's feeling as far as missing out on sports. Now, what he went through is a whole nother level of injury.
Right.
You know, that's something I can't attest to. You know, I had the kind of basic, I guess it's basic, knee injury, ankle injury, but this guy had like strokes. So
yeah,
serious, serious stuff, man. So hey, shouts out to all athletes out there putting their bodies and their health on the line, you know, because at any moment, something like that can happen. So you just be thankful and be humble what you do out there. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Your high school football playing days got derailed by injury too, didn't it?
Yeah. Highly sprained ankle from my knee down that never fully healed properly.
Yeah, and I wrestled in high school and had to leave the team because I got hurt twice. So, and you got hurt too, didn't you?
Oh, I got hurt a ton of times, but I just swam through it. That's the good thing about swimming is you just pretend like it didn't happen. You just keep swimming.
Tough, boy.
Just keep swimming. Yeah, I had so many sprained ankles when I was in college that by the time I had one of the trainers as my professor for a class, we got to the practicum about crutches, and she's like, Christy, you know what you're doing, just go.
How do you sprain your ankle with swimming?
Well, it wasn't always with swimming.
That was a great question. Like, I was really like fascinated to hear the answer.
Once was after mud volleyball. I was running into a pond and it popped, so that was pretty nasty. One, I just missed a step coming out of my dorm, like not in my dorm. I was just going to class and I missed a step and rolled it. And then the last time, it was during dry land. Swimmers don't always swim to work out. We lift weights. We do dry land, what we call dry land workouts. And I went to get a medicine ball and I was like on a hill and just roll. I have really weak ankles, so they roll all the time.
Glad you didn't play basketball. Can I just say though,
right,
that mud volleyball, is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's some straight WPS.
Oh, but it's so fun. I mean, like, fine, I don't care. I will own that one.
I got what it means. I gotta take one second.
White people stuff.
Right. Yeah, the radio version is stuff.
You see the intense thought I had, though. I had to look up to the heavens.
What kind of land did I walk into?
So mud volleyball, I mean, volleyball is a really fun sport to play, but like mud volleyball, like you just play
it's
it
like
in the mud.
Extra additional fun. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. It's fun.
Sounds dirty.
Yeah. On that note, we're going to send it over to Christy.
Again.
The superstar of the show.
With the weak ankles.
With the weak ankles.
Super weak.
But you know what's not weak is her rundown. Let's get it.
Ooh, thank you for that. Very smooth.
That's the team leader we need.
Yeah. Took him the whole show, but he showed up.
He got it.
I show sparks here and there.
Right in the fourth quarter. Perfect timing. Two-time Olympic taekwondo champion Stephen Lopez has been suspended while the U.S. Center for Safe Sport investigates sexual misconduct allegations. The suspension follows a lawsuit filed by four women against the U.S. Olympic Committee with sex trafficking allegations. So basically what they said, that they knew that these women are accusing the U.S. Olympic Committee of saying that they were aware that Stephen Lopez and his brother were sexual predators, but they were still allowing women, they were still sending women out to them.
Well, and I guess that would be considered a form of sex trafficking.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Yep. The Saints running back Mark Ingram has been suspended 4 games for use of performance enhancing drugs. Ingram will be eligible to participate in all of off-season practices and preseason games. So
I bet you, for all the fantasy football players going out there, Alvin Kamara will be one of the first running backs taken.
Oh, he's going to be that anyway.
I mean, You got Le'Veon Bell. You got, yeah, see, Alvin Kamara.
I look, when it comes to fantasy, I look at the stuff that people don't see. Like, okay, I know Alvin Kamara is going to get some good PT. He's going to get his points. He's reliable. He can catch. And now with this.
Oh, CJ is going to be in our fantasy football league this year.
Oh, yeah. He's probably going to kick all of
dominate,
our butts.
Yeah. Hey,
real quick, I just want to ask you, because I saw your reaction when she first read that story. For players who don't take performance-enhancing drugs, how much does it piss you off when you find out that somebody was cheating like that?
I mean, it makes you mad, but at the same time, I'm pretty even killed and level-headed enough to think, okay, a lot of professional athletes out there are taking all kinds of supplements to try and stay at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they don't know what they're taking.
Mm-hmm.
That's true too.
You just go to a GNC or wherever, and you'd be like, I need a fat burner. Here's a fat burner right here. It has this, that, and the third. They don't care. As long as it burns the fat, they're going to take it. And then they do a drug test, and boom, it comes out, oh, it's actually on the banned list. Most players would ask, you know, the trainers to check it out and make sure it's good. But in the off season, sometimes you're just trying to
do what you can
to get that edge. So
that's why there's that caveat. Like the NFL says that, you know, you can't use the excuse of, oh, I didn't know it was a banned substance. It's you're responsible for what you put in your body.
Right. It is. It's just kind of like one of those inadvertent things. Like you said, they just get so hypervigilant to do what they can to be where they need to be or want to be or whatever, that they're not realizing that it's and when you go to like a GNC, you anticipate all of that stuff to be like
exactly.
Okay and acceptable, and so you just kind of go in with a naivete, I guess.
Ooh.
Back to football real quick. Former Browns quarterback Johnny Football Manziel has been hospitalized for a quote-unquote reaction to an increased dose of lithium, which he takes for his bipolar disorder.
Isn't that in batteries?
Yeah,
lithium ion batteries is, I think, what you're thinking
like,
of.
I don't know the difference.
Not a doctor, Chrissy.
I can't explain the difference to you. I'd have to look that up. But
we don't have time for that. But I don't care about Johnny Manziel.
That was blasphemous. This is serious.
He is by all accounts okay. So
that's good.
That is a good thing.
That's all we needed to know.
Right. In the good news, though, Mr. Smile, my guy, Frankie, was named the AL Player of the Week. So congratulations, Lindor.
I was going to say, for those of you that don't know, she's just saying Frankie over there. Like Francisco Lindor for the Cleveland Indians.
Well, if you don't know Frankie, then just get out of here.
Lindor, no, like the kidding. Chocolate?
I think it is spelled the same.
I'm him already.
But yeah. Oh, man. He is.
I'm going to have to call her husband and make sure he knows about Frankie.
Oh, he knows. And well, it's not on that. He's just really cute, like a kid. Like, I want to put him in my bag and take him home
is that
and
legal?
Adopt him.
It's called kidnapping.
No. Right.
Well, he's an adult. It's fine.
That makes all the difference.
So here's another bit of good news. Becky Hammon, who is one of the assistant coaches for the San Antonio Spurs, is up for the head coaching position with the Milwaukee Bucks. For those of you who don't know, just a little bit of background on Becky. She's a 16-year veteran of the WNBA. I know. I'm sorry. Dang. I'm sorry. One slip.
I was about to say, they can't just let you mistake.
And I caught it right away. And corrected myself, but anyhow, 16-year WNBA player, and she made history as the first full-time female assistant coach when she went to work for Pop since 2014. She also has a history in the Olympics, so she's got a lot of experience under her belt. She has recommendations for the job from Popovich himself, and LeBron James also just kind of gave her a little bit of a nod when he said, listen, at the end of the day, basketball, it's not about male or female. If you know the game, you know the game. And Becky Hammon certainly is experienced enough, and with her last 4 years with the Spurs, has been turning heads. But we all know that, well, not we all, I know that there can still be a lot of sexist bias towards people. So I really appreciate this quote that she said, quote, my motives shouldn't be to to change people's minds. My job is to be the best that I can be. And if that changes your mind, then great. But if I can't, but I can't be consumed with how you feel about me. And that's just fantastic. That's a great mindset. And good luck to you. I understand that she's a serious contender, but there are several other names on the list for that job. So we'll see what happens with that. To kind of piggyback off of that, the Charlotte Hornets are hiring Spurs assistant coach James Borrego. I believe is how you pronounce his last name. So congratulations to him. Pop is certainly, this isn't the first time that he's sent off a lot of assistant coaches. There are several others that have done very well under him as well.
So. Yeah, they have a very good system over there.
That's kind of like the, how it was with was it the Patriots?
No. I knew where you were going. Don't.
Before Belichick was with the Patriots, when he was with the Browns, it was the Browns.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they sent out, they had a whole bunch of head coaches and stuff. So, yeah, it's pedigree there. That's all I was going to say, man.
It's a painful thing for Cleveland fans because.
To be reminded of.
Yeah.
I just hate the Patriots. I don't like Belichick.
Well, there's that too.
To all you Clevelanders out there, I apologize. I didn't mean to offend.
It's all right. It's all good. But you did send me this story. The AFFL, which is the American Flag Football League, will host a U.S. Open of Football with over $2 million in game prizes. There will be a 1,024 team tournament that will pit average Joes against one of four pro teams. Former pros like Chad Ochocinco Johnson, Marshall Faulk, Michael Vick, and Terrell Owens are to be featured in this kind of like American Idol of football
type deal. Yeah. And they have a television deal.
With the NFL Network. Yeah. They're gonna broadcast 11 games.
So now, when you say an average Joe, does that mean anybody can try out?
Yeah, they're just like. Just regular people. There's a
lot of flag football leagues around the country. So I guess
these are the best teams from those leagues.
Oh.
But they're not professionals.
Well, and to be honest, they're going to get smashed because even like you have professionals here. If you played at a professional level in any sport, that means you're one of the best, right? Mm-hmm. So even if you're not good enough anymore to play at an NFL level, you're still better than most people at the sport. So a lot of those teams are going to get destroyed.
So well, you don't got a chance.
Yeah, but it's also tournament play. So I think that they're going to eliminate each other mostly before they get to the pro team. But also, I would like to point out that my brothers played in an indoor flag football league.
Oh, really?
I don't know that they're going to get that annihilated. These guys in just small town suburbia. Oh, they go all out. It's not flag football. It is full on football without pads. Like crazy. I'm like, what's happening?
It almost
right
sounds
now?
Like you're talking about rugby.
Right.
It's kinda. I mean, they got the flag there, but it's useless. Like, I don't even know why it's there. I mean, and these guys are athletic. They're fast, they're quick, they're strong. It's pretty good time to watch.
I played a little flag football in my day.
Did you?
Yeah, getting ready. It's actually a good way to get ready for the season coming up, you know, because you're not going to get tackled like you would in regular football, but it's still physical enough where you can, you know, take some bumps, and then it's great conditioning.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I used to come out flag football and just run a bomb, like just take off. You know, of course, I was done for the next 5-6 plays. after that, it was all outs, 5-yard outs. Hit me real quick.
So, Art, like in flag football, the way that they do it, is it, you know, players playing both offense and defense? Like, is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so. Mm-hmm. So.
That's from what I remember. I mean, I watched my Rulers play like one game, but there was a lot of blood coming off. So yeah, they were flipping and flying all over the place. I'm like, what? Isn't this supposed to be like non-contact? I don't know what's happening.
Contact.
Well, yeah. Speaking of no contact, I'm actually going to throw something in on your rundown.
Yeah.
At the time of the taping of this show, it has broken that Seattle Mariners starting pitcher James Paxton tosses the team's first no-hitter since 2015 in a 5-0 win over the Blue Jays.
Congratulations.
All right.
The Blue Jays couldn't get any contact.
Big news.
Smooth.
Nice. Very good.
We got anything else?
No, no, I'm done. No, why is everybody looking at me?
Because it's your segment.
Oh, no, no, that was it.
Okay, apparently that's ending the rundown. It's been a great show today, so we will see you at the same time, same place, next week, with or without Farmers Only, CJ.
No, oh, no, I will be here.
All right.
Why don't you just try and kick me out because you're jealous because your profile ain't getting hit?
I don't have a Farmers Only.
Stop trying to pull me down, brother.
Pull me up, man.
Oh, all right, we out. Peace.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.